Hi, I'm Maddie, and I'm a KMUW listener. I recently attended KMUW's Pint Night and had a great time. It's a laid-back environment with the opportunity to meet staff, other listeners, and folks from all walks of life. The next one is at White Crow Cider Company at 5:30 on Wednesday, October 15th. I hope you'll join us.
Good morning. It's Thursday, October 2nd. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition from KMUW News. U.S. farmers plant millions of acres of corn every year. Now, some in America's heartland are experimenting with new, shorter varieties.
There's a lot of optimism, a lot of excitement, and we can't wait to get it in growers' hands so they can see what they think of it.
We'll hear how corn may soon be getting shorter. That's coming up after the news. U.S. Senator Jerry Moran of Kansas says the government shutdown sends a bad message to the rest of the world, KMUW's Meg Britton Mellish reports.
Moran said in a visit to Wichita ahead of the shutdown that allowing federal funding to run out would tarnish the United States' image.
It also is a message to the world, our adversaries, as well as our friends, that there's dysfunction in the United States. That is a national security issue that I hope my colleagues take into account as we decide next week whether to vote to keep government operating.
Moran and fellow Kansas Senator Roger Marshall voted in support of a failed Republican plan to fund the government at its current levels into November. Both voted against a Democrat proposal to fund the government through October while reversing Medicaid cuts. This is the first government shutdown since 2019. For KMUW News, I'm Meg Britton Mellish.
Sedgwick County Commissioners voted on Wednesday to consolidate the county's two TAG offices into one office, KMUW's Daniel Cottle reports.
The Kellogg TAG office will close next week. Staff there will move over to the office on Douglas. County Treasurer Brandy Bailey recommended the move due to what she calls budget constraints. She says it will save the county about $360,000 per year.
With this change, every window will be fully staffed throughout the day at the Douglas TAG office. It will allow our staff to efficiently serve the more than 650 people we see daily and the over 3,100 transactions we are completing on a daily basis.
The county will open three new satellite TAG locations later this month. County officials are also asking state lawmakers to change fees at the TAG office. They say the current fee structure is not enough to support the office's operations. For KMUW News, I'm Daniel Cottle.
Tax collections for the state of Kansas fell short of estimates last month for the first time in 6 months. State officials say Kansas took in about $1 billion, which was slightly below its goal. It was also a drop from September of last year. Individual income tax collections were above estimates, but they were offset by a 15% shortfall in corporate income taxes. Governor Laura Kelly says the latest numbers bolster her argument for fiscal restraint. She's previously criticized a budget put together by Republicans as reckless. The Kansas Board of Regents says enrollment at state universities increased 2.2% this fall. The board says it's the third consecutive year of enrollment increase. The regents oversee the state's four-year colleges, community colleges, and technical schools. Wichita State University reported a record enrollment of more than 25,000 students. That includes nearly 7,000 at WSU Tech. This is WSU's fifth consecutive year of enrollment growth. The University of Kansas also set a record with more than 31,000 students. Kansas State reported an enrollment of nearly 21,000. Wichita officials say they hope a travel blogging conference hosted by the city this week will reap major dividends. The 2025 Travel Blog Exchange Summit will bring more than 130 travel influencers and content creators to Wichita. Jamel Hollaparik is with Visit Wichita.
It's something that is an incredible opportunity. They won't come back. They never go back to the same place twice because these are explorers and they want to see the world. But while they're here, we are just going to get so much recognition. It's really hard to put a price tag on it.
Hollaparik says other cities that have hosted the summit say it netted them millions of dollars in earned media coverage. The four-day conference began yesterday and gives travel bloggers the opportunity for professional development while exploring a new city. Visit Wichita and Kansas tourism officials began lobbying to host the event 2 years ago. Drought has returned to many parts of the Midwest. Harvest Public Media's Jess Savage reports that means farmers are once again dealing with dry conditions in the middle of harvest season.
Climatologists are describing the current conditions as a snap drought, or one that came on quickly and has no real signs of stopping. Josh Boxall is a sixth-generation farmer who grows corn and soybeans in Indiana.
We plant different maturities to try to help spread our risk, you know, depending on the weather, to kind of, you know, at least hit some averages on yields, you know. So some of our corn and beans are going to catch more rain than others, and we just hope it all in the end kind of averages out and we can have a decent crop.
Exceptionally dry conditions increase the risk of field fires. Hot harvest machinery, a backyard burn, or a cigarette butt could spark fires that destroy acres of crops. There's almost no rain expected in the coming days in the region. I'm Jess Savage, Harvest Public Media.
The Wichita Public Library is offering a new resource for people living with dementia and their caregivers. The library partnered with Comfort Care Homes to create memory kits that feature games, puzzles, and other activities. The kits are designed for caregivers to engage with loved ones experiencing memory loss. There are three types of kits available geared toward people with early, middle, or late stage dementia. Any adult with a Wichita Library card can borrow a memory kit for 14 days. There's more information at wichitalibrary.org. We'll be back after this.
Support for KMUW comes from Fidelity Bank with Business 360, banking and lending for small businesses ready to grow. Online at fidelitybank.com.
This is Wichita's Early Edition. I'm Fletcher Powell. Change might be on the horizon for the Midwest's most iconic crop. It's cold, but big it has the U.S. produces more than a third of the world's corn, and most of that grain comes from a swath of the central U.S. called the Corn Belt. Harvest Public Media's Kate Grumke reports some Midwestern farmers are planting a new variety of corn that might be an improvement over what's in fields now.
Farmer Chad Moore's seed dealer was looking for people to try out a new product, short corn, from the agriculture company Bayer.
I had never heard of it before, and I've always been kind of looking to do things a little bit different, try things out on the farm year after year.
Moore is a third-generation farmer who grows corn and soybeans on about 1,800 acres in central Illinois. Now he's in his second year growing Bayer's short-stature corn, called Precion. The corn doesn't look too different from the road. It's only about 3 or 4 feet shorter than typical corn. But when you walk into the field, you can really tell the difference.
This here is the shorter corn, the Precion corn. If you just look down through the row, you can kind of see how thick and dense the leaves are.
The big change here is that short corn can be planted densely without affecting its health. Moore can plant about 20% more short corn per acre.
So you've got a denser population, more ears, a lot more plant matter out here.
More corn plants per acre translates to the number one thing many farmers care about.
Whether the corn's short or tall, I want to make sure I got the yield out there, and that's the main goal of anything.
It's early days, but there's a lot of hype around short stature corn in the Midwest right now. Or at least as much hype as you can get among stoic Midwestern agriculturalists. Besides Bayer, several other seed companies are also selling or developing shorter corn hybrids. One is Corteva Agrisciences. The company will start selling its own variety of short corn in the next few years. Farmers are really curious about it, says Corteva's Vice President of Biotechnology, Wendy Cernich.
There's a lot of optimism, a lot of excitement, and we can't wait to get it in growers' hands so they can see what they think of it.
On top of increased yield, Cernich says the shorter corn is less likely to get knocked over in strong wind storms. Shorter plants come with another benefit. They're much easier to treat with things like fertilizer or fungicides.
With tall corn, you kind of hit a window where you can't get into the canopy, you can't get into the field.
When the corn is shorter, farmers can treat their fields without having to spray from an airplane. These are all big improvements. But shorter corn is a small change in the grand history of this plant, says Iowa State University professor Pat Schnabel.
The humans that domesticated that crop changed it enormously over about a 5,000-year period or so.
Now technology is making all kinds of other things possible. Schnabel is using a computer program to dream up designer corn varieties.
What's the optimal number of leaves? What's the optimal width of the leaves? And then we can breed towards that.
Schnabel says it's too early to know if farmers will start widely growing short corn. But shorter stalks may be the next chapter in the long story of humans' relationship with this crop. I'm Kate Grumke, Harvest Public Media.
Thanks for joining us for Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
Tomorrow on The Range, what Wichita's economy might look like in the year ahead. Plus, what exactly is a docent, and what do they do? So join us on The Range, where we share stories about where we live and the people who live here.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.